Testing, 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 uno, dos, tres. I think we're ready, doctor. Do you feel ready?
Yes, we're ready to go.
Okay, let's go. Okay, jump in the water. Nah. Here we go, guys. Once again, welcome to Love University. This is our episode number 10. And man, it feels good to actually go because, doctor, I want to thank you because every episode, I feel like we kind of unveil a different layer, kind of like an onion, and we learn something better, and we kind of began to have a shape in our emotional life, you know?
Yes, we do. I mean, we're teaching people really how to love themselves, others, and a higher power. And it's something that takes step by step. You know, we start with ourselves, you know. Before we can love someone else, we have to love ourselves and connect with other people at the same time. And then eventually find our higher nature, you know, the best part of ourselves.
Yeah, and it's so hard in today's times, if you really think about it. A lot of people, we seem to be lost in our minds. And the skills that Dr. Avila brings to the table is basically his entire life research. And this guy knows what he's talking about. And me, well, talk about things that I've kind of fell down through. And we fix each other. And yes, I mean, definitely. We're all here for a purpose of growing.
Yes, we are. And, you know, I think of myself as, you know, someone who helps facilitate people's lives. And I think you're kind of the cousin next door, right? That Now, our topic today is something very interesting and something that affects us in everyday life. And it's basically about the love of money. Why we love it, why we hate it, and how to deal with it. And this is a fascinating topic, I think, because people always have money on their mind, right? You know the phrase, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I teach psychology at the college, and I often do an exercise with people. I say, who here has a $100 bill?
Okay,
so someone comes up, they give me the $100 bill.
Yeah.
And I say, when you look at this bill, what do you see? I mean, what comes to mind? They say, well, independence, freedom, you know, security, you know, different things where I can buy stuff with it, you know.
Right.
And I said, but really, look at this. If you see this right now, what is it? It's just a piece of paper, right?
Right.
And then what else? It's got some numbers on it, right?
It has ink.
Right. So let's say you're from outer space, right? And you look at this, it's really nothing. It's a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
So then I said, okay, I have a $100 bill in my hand, or whatever you call this. What do you do with a piece of paper when you're done with it? You throw it away, right?
It, yeah.
So actually pretend to toss it in the trash can.
Dr. Avila is rippling a $100 bill right now.
Exactly. So everyone, wow, what are you doing? That's money. I said, but why is it money? You know, so we associate money with certain things. We condition ourselves to believe that it has certain value, certain power, when it really may or may not.
And especially in today's times, give me a second. Let me cough it off. Excuse me. In today's times that we value it even more because of social media, a lot of people idolize people that have money just because of that.
Yeah, I mean, you've heard of Money Mayweather. I mean, there are a lot of these celebrities.
Kardashians.
Right? Yeah, their whole persona is based out of money and financial accumulation. So we're going to talk about, there's both good and bad, benefits and disadvantages. I mean, obviously, benefits of money is, you know, financial independence, right? You know, being able to do what you want to do. Freedom. You know, if you don't like the job, you can take it and shove it, you know.
That's true.
Take off and travel. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do with money. It also can provide special experiences for your family, you know, take a trip, you know, something that can be memories. It can also be a lifetime legacy, you know, something you leave behind.
A lot of people, they call it all money. Those are people that pass it on to their significant others, right? And it's just because of a generational thing.
In a sense, yeah. But, I mean, you can also do it for a worthy cause. For example, I've talked to my son about it, and we want to start a library for underprivileged children in other countries, Latin American countries.
Nice.
You know, maybe where they can read e-books or actually books.
Because
I remember when I was a kid, I used to love to read. You know, I'm an only child, so I would walk a mile to a library and spend the whole day reading 10 books a week. And I loved it, you know. And
nerd.
That's
good. That's good, though.
But Revenge of the Nerds, right?
You
know, so I have a lot of degrees now, and, you know, I've done some good things. So I think that's something we can leave behind. You know, use money for a legacy. That can be a very positive purpose.
Because you leave a message, right? And unfortunately, a lot of people feel like, you know what? If they don't have the money, they cannot do anything. But going back to the initial idea, you're going to show us in this episode how to detach from that money attachment idea of worth. You are worth more than a dollar.
Well, you know, it's more than that. We're going to talk about how to enjoy money without it enjoying you. Because many times people have money control them, but we are the ones who can control money. We can master it. You know, it really starts with the mind.
Yeah.
But really, we give them this idea, why do people hate money? Okay, now there's a love-hate relationship, right? We love it because it gives us freedom, independence, security, whatever it is. We hate it because we don't have enough of it, right? And we're always working hard for it. And the more we make, the more we spend.
But that's because we give it that idea that you're working for it. Remember we had said before that in the previous episode, most people are doing things that they don't want to do because of it, because we have to make a living, because we have to survive. And that's the unfortunate thing. But right now what we're teaching you is if you're in that predicament, like you're going through a situation where you don't want to be, these are ways to learn how to make it more pleasant till you get out and get into a better one, right?
Yeah, we're going to talk about passion, you know, how passion can create more money in your life and more success in different ways, the way you think about it. But initially, you know, there are people that actually are afraid of looking greedy. You know, there are people that go the opposite way. You know, I don't want to make money. I don't want to be rich because, you know, it's evil. So you've heard this phrase, right?
I've heard that one, but I haven't really seen somebody practice that.
There are people that actually are that. You know, mm-hmm. they want to be humble. You know, they have this kind of persona. They don't want to show off too much. I mean, that could be okay. But again, neither extreme is good. I mean, money can be a tool, right? It can be mm-hmm. a tool for both positive and negative things. The other thing about money is it has time value. When people work for a living, you know, they're investing their time in what they're doing, and they lose that, you know?
It's for an exchange.
Exchange. You know, my son even said this recently. He's a very smart guy. He says, time is the only thing money cannot buy.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. It's true. You know, so nowadays people on the internet, you know, they're trying to do what's called passive income. You know, they're mm-hmm. doing other ways that can automate things. They can actually create money and they create income without having to put money, you know, their own time into it.
Yeah. Today's times, like, it's easier to make money than before. Everything's so digital. Everything's so out there. That money, it kind of it's getting rid of money slavery for a lot of people. Like, I see little kids, like, mm-hmm. there's these little artists that just came out of nowhere, and now they're making millions in YouTube. They're making millions just selling T-shirts, and it's crazy. I think the idea is to unlimit yourself.
Right, to be creative. You know, we'll call that intellectual property, right? We can mm-hmm. create a book, an art form, or something, you know, that actually can sell itself over time. That can be a great thing. So some people have that ability, right, to mm-hmm. do that. Or even business, right? Real estate, you know, passive income. There are ways people can do that. So you don't have to slave, like I said, hours a day, you know, making money.
Yeah.
So if you're smart, I mean, you know, you can be creative and have different approaches.
And you know what? Another thing that I'm going to tell you, doctor, like, I'm getting to that level where I'm becoming my own boss. Mm-hmm. And it took a while for me to get there because right. I was part of the whole system of, you know what, I have to do the job. And I mean, I love working. I still work, obviously, to make a living. But I want to get to a point where, you know what, money is not, it's not so much the whole quest. It's about the experience. And I'll find a way to make money. This life is about, you know, since the beginning of time, it was about merchants. It was about people that made trades. Exactly. It's about losing fear of feeling like you're doing something wrong because you're hustling around in life, you know?
Yeah, I mean, following your passion, you know, doing what you love, you know, can really attract the money and attract success. But let's talk about other factors. For example, okay, you know, people often ask, can money buy you happiness? Mm-hmm. And the research shows that actually it can to a certain extent. You know, people that are richer are actually a little bit happier than people who are poor. People in rich countries are a little bit happier. But there's a limit to it.
Mm-hmm.
Usually they say after you get beyond $75,000 to $100,000 a year in the U.S., it doesn't add any more happiness, you know, if you mm-hmm. make more money. So there's actually a certain limit to how much happiness you get.
So that they've gone out there and actually done this research on the brain of humans.
Yes.
Man, that's crazy.
Yeah. And the other thing they've looked at is something called the treadmill effect. You mm-hmm. know what a treadmill is, where you keep running, you don't make any progress.
Mm-hmm.
So typically what happens when you win money, like in the lottery, you have a certain spike in your happiness for a period of time, but then it goes away. And then you're as happy as you were before you won the lottery.
Is that because people say, for instance, they get accustomed to a certain bracket and that's the kind of like the only scene they paint in their lives? I only want this person. I only want this. And because that's their social gathering group, that's the only level they're at. Instead of saying, you know what? I can be with people I have less. I can be with people I have more and between and all that.
Well, it's part of it. But also we're talking about happiness, the emotional level that you are. For example, if you're a depressed person before you won the lottery, after it wears off, mm-hmm. you're going to be depressed afterwards. Mm-hmm. That's why people actually commit suicide, you know, 5 years after they win the lottery, because they go back to where they were before emotionally.
Ooh.
So it really doesn't have many times a permanent effect. You know, getting a lot of money can change you temporarily, but then you go back to the way you were psychologically.
I think the key here then is getting smart about your money.
Yeah, definitely. You know, knowing how to use it properly. You know, we're going to talk about that. That's going to be mm-hmm. the last part of the segment.
Okay.
Is how do we enjoy money and make it work for us instead of us working for it?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is people ask, can money buy you love? Okay, another mm. another thing, right? Now, we think about, you know, there's certain kinds of love, right?
Maybe some current kind of love, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But in reality, it can actually affect relationships, you know, because think about the most conflict themes that people talk about are children, money, and sex.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people get divorced over those reasons.
Right.
So if you don't have enough money, you know, the light bill, you know, is not paid, you know, the light's going off, you know, people can have a lot of stress.
Yeah.
Marriages can suffer a lot because of that.
And then the energy is not flowing because you guys are not concentrated in being there for each other. You're concentrated on the problems because of a lack of money.
Definitely. Exactly. And also they show that materialistic couples often have the most conflicts and the most divorce. Those that you know, want to get the newer car and they're always talking about the material thing.
Yeah.
Often have a lot of problems. They don't nurture the spiritual part of the relationship, you know, the emotional side.
It's more like a business because for them it's money.
Right. It's a partnership, right? You know, it's a business partnership, you know, make more money, but you know, they're not really as happy. The other thing is people that are extremely wealthy to a certain extent also have more depression. You know, we see them, they use use therapists a lot and they go mm-hmm. to those things. Sometimes they feel overwhelmed by what they have. You know, like everyone wants me because of the money. You know, who's my true friends and those kind of things.
And they cannot trust a lot of people. That's the biggest thing, right?
Definitely, yeah. There's suspiciousness and things like that. So, you know, definitely those are different levels of, you know, happiness and money. Now, the other factor is, can money make you a better person? Hmm. Now, or maybe a worse person? Now,
plastic surgery.
Now, what do you think, Nachin? I mean, I know you came from fairly humble roots, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you've seen people that are rich and not so rich. What do you think? Can money make you a better person or not?
It can open your ways to better things, meaning like you can learn, like educate your mind and open yourself to things that you didn't even know. Like, for instance, me, when I grew up eating beans and tacos, mm-hmm. like the, you know, the typical food of my culture.
Right.
But once I started, you know, moving on in life and like getting out and persevering to be a better individual, I started to relate myself with other individuals that taught me other cultures, other things. And I do think that it does open your doors because you are open to being able to afford now another restaurant on the other side of the city and so on. So right. In that sense, I think it does.
Yeah, I mean, there are advantages. I mean, obviously, if you're a kid growing up, you can get music lessons and piano lessons, you know, mm-hmm. tutors and all that. So it can help you. But then there's the idea of being entitled. You know, mm-hmm. We've heard the rich kids.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Now, there's actually this thing called, a term called affluenza, mm-hmm. which is it being affected by greed, by wanting more money.
Ooh.
And this is actually the 16-year-old kid. This is a true story. 16-year-old rich kid got drunk driving, killed 4 people.
Oh.
He pleaded not guilty because of affluenza. He gave 10 years probation, the judge.
What?
As a result, because, you know, he was rushing to, you know, make some money, you know, basically to make an appointment.
That guy had a lot of money and good attorneys.
Of course, yeah. But I mean, it seems ridiculous. But I mean, it actually can be a mental illness. Yeah. You know, people with money issues can become mental illness. For example, there's something called money avoidance. You know, people that take their bills and they put them in the closet. They don't want to look at their bills because it makes them fearful.
Right.
You know, so they're avoiding. So obviously, it's going to become interest rates. You know, they're going to be in trouble.
That's what I do. As soon as I get it, I'm like, look, you bully. I'm going to put you away and I'll deal with you later.
Exactly. Yes. But of course, eventually it's going to come back to bite you, right?
Say, you know what? Okay, I'll talk to you when I'm ready.
Exactly. They'll repo your car at the end.
No, not that far.
And there are people that, on the other side, avoid making money, you know, because mm-hmm. they feel guilty. There are some people, actually, that have this idea. You know, they have a poverty mentality. I don't make too much money because, you know, I don't want to...
They think they're that. Look at those people that...
Definitely. Oof. Exactly. Yeah. So avoidance can be an issue. The other is, like, money, you know, going after money too much. You know, for example, hoarders, mm-hmm. you know, people that put everything, you know, they don't want to lose anything. Or shopaholics, people that always are shopping and buying things.
I used to know this older gentleman, and I know he was already in retirement, and I knew him since elementary school years, and he was only, he had a lot of money, but he was only living off his Social Security money.
Right.
And I would tell him, why do you do that? And he says, because I don't know, I could run out of money. I mm-hmm. said, but you're not mm-hmm. spending it on anything. Well, it's okay. If I leave, somebody's going to keep it. I said, exactly. At least buy yourself something, a nice watch that you feel like, you know what, I earned it.
Yeah, because some people die, I mean, with a lot of money, you know, and mm-hmm. the cat gets it, the dog gets it, right? They don't even have an inheritance.
Remember that case years ago, that lady in New York, the most rich lady, she gave it to her dog?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, you know, they don't have any. that's a rich dog walking down the street, right, with a little, you know, hairdo or something.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, people like that suffer a lot because, you know, they suffer in pain, or people that are very cheap. You know, unfortunately, mm-hmm. I have an acquaintance who's that way, you know.
Mm.
We go to the restaurant, he forgets his wallet. All the time, right? Or leaves mm-hmm. a little tip, you know. I mean, that's the way he's raised, you know.
I feel like at least, say, when you're going to lunch together, I'm at a point where it's like, you know what? Like a lot of women do it nowadays. They go out in groups and they're like, okay, let's all pitch in type of thing. Let's split it type of thing. Yeah. You know, women are very smart about that. I noticed that. And guys were more pride, like,
right.
No, I'll take it, bro. No, it's okay.
Right. Yeah. Who's going to pay? And, you know, there are problems about that. Also, you know, people ask you how much you make. That can be uncomfortable, right? You know, people are afraid to talk about that.
But why do people want to know? They want to know your worth?
I guess, you know, they attribute that, you know, and they compare it to themselves. You know, everyone's kind of embarrassed to talk about it a little bit.
You know what I do? I depends on the person. Mm. I either tell them, look, I have a lot of money or I don't.
Oh, yeah.
Just to see how they react.
Exactly. Yes.
I know what I have, and that's it.
Exactly. You
know?
So a girl says, hey, I want to go out with you, Nachin. How much do you make a year? Mm-hmm. What do you say to her?
I'll tell her, enough to take you out and eat tacos.
Okay, and if she goes with you tacos, you know she's a good girl, right?
Yes. That's the ultimate test for me.
That's the trick, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. And the other thing is, another money mental illness issue is in relationships. You know, people lie about the way they spend things. Mm-hmm. If your husbands that buy like a new jet ski, they don't tell their wives. Wives buy a new, you know, expensive purse, they don't tell their husbands. So you get this all the time. People, you know, hide from each other what they do with money.
But that's sad, no? Because you cannot be, you know, truthful to each other and be like, look, why not? If it makes you feel good, get yourself some retail therapy. Go get yourself something.
Yeah, be open to it. I mean, people are, you know, embarrassed. You know, they don't want to show that they're spending too much money, so they hide it. The other problem we have psychologically is when you enable people with money, when you have parents that are still supporting their adult children. Mm. I'll give you, you know, your car insurance, not a problem. You know, you're 35 years old, still living in the house, right? Nachin, I'll give you a new car, not a problem. But see, that hurts the child because, you know, then you're enabling them, right? Mm-hmm. You're basically not letting them be independent.
And what happens if you disappear, God forbid, you know, things happen in life in a split second. Definitely. What are you going to leave this kid to be now?
Right, they don't have independence. But they're afraid to say no, right? You know, people that are afraid to say no to giving, you know, they're always give. So, you know, that's another illness, let's say, psychological.
You know what? I also see, like, going back to the greed people, those people that are greedy, doctor, that don't want to share the money that they have, is it because they're hurt from the past that people hurt them and they just want to say, you know what, forget you. You know what? You work for your own type of thing.
It could be a combination. Maybe their parents were very tight with them, you know, like, you know, you have to earn this money, right? You have to earn my love. So there are people that actually attribute money to love in the sense of having to earn it, you know, acceptance.
So it's all in their upbringing, their conditioning, right?
Yeah, the psychological side of it. Yeah. So say their dad says, you know, you got to get LAs, you know, if I give you a dollar, right? So now I have to be, you know, a perfect person to get money. And that's going to be very difficult. Because
so if you're not perfect, you don't fit into their life.
Definitely so, yeah. So that's why they're very tight with money and things like that.
Wow.
But, you know, those are some of the negatives. But now let's get to the interesting part, right?
Okay.
Get out your pen. And this is what we're going to help you with. Is how do you really enjoy money, okay? In a positive way, okay? And these are really research-proven tips. Number one, this is a very nice one, is instead of buying things, buy experiences.
Okay.
You know, for example, you know, go on that mountain climbing trip to the Himalayas, you know, spend money on something that will last, you know, mentally a lifetime.
It's memorable.
Yeah, and people often, you know, remember these a lot more. You know, they have this recurring, you know, fantasy or dream, you know, I want to be, you know, traveling somewhere, I want to do this with my family. Mm-hmm. Also, you share it with your loved ones too, so it gives it even more impact.
You create that nucleus of being in kind of like in balance with each other, you know?
Definitely. I mean, you could buy a nice car or a nice jacuzzi, whatever. It's nice. But, you know, the key that remembers is that experience, right? So experiences, you know, whatever you want to do. Like, for example, give me an experience you would love to, you know, no matter what it costs, what would you love to do?
One of the things I do, I want to go to the pyramids in Egypt, and I want to be there. I want to be in Giza. I want to go. So that's one of my quests. And I actually want to visit all the pyramids in the world. I'm attracted to them. Yucatan, Cancun. I want to go to South America, Machu Picchu. See all these things that are out there that are like, oh, wow, mind-boggling from previous, you know, civilizations that created that. Exactly. I admire the roots where we come from.
Right, beautiful monuments. You know, one of my colleagues that works for me, he just came back from the Holy Land. So he spent a whole month there looking at all the, you know, beautiful things out there in the Middle East. You know, and if you bring a loved one, it makes it even more exciting, right? You know,
so take me, doctor. Let's go. Let's go to Europe.
Let's do it. Okay.
You're the one with the $5.
You're paying, right? Okay. So we're gonna have a lot of fun, you know, and travel, whatever it is. You know, it could be, I don't know, front row seats at your favorite concert, the Rolling Stones, or something. Yeah. You know, I mean, the wonderful once a lifetime experiences.
So always aim for those things, but also if you don't have the money, I think one of the things is like you don't have that kind of money. Aim for something that's gonna give you that immediate satisfaction, like going to get. Mm-hmm. For me, it's going to a new place to eat tacos because I love tacos so much. Finding one is like a jewel, and I'm like, we made that treasure quest. Yeah.
That's kind of cool. You just kind of segued into my next point without knowing this, which is good. It means you got a little psychic.
I got your back, doctor. You just don't know, man.
Exactly. It's basically enjoy little experiences over the big experience, okay?
Yeah.
That's much better. Like you said, you know, have a nice night out, you know, massage, or if you're a lady facial, or double espresso coffee or tacos, you know, but do it more frequently. The big things are nice, you know, going on the once a lifetime trip, but you know, you might have to save 5 years for that. And then you say, oh, I feel a little deprived, but every week.
I can't even move anymore, man. Arthritis hit me.
Exactly. So, no. I mean, you know, every week or every, you know, whatever period of time, you know, find something that you enjoy, a little pleasure that actually gives you more satisfaction than even the big pleasures.
You know what? The other day, like, I was going through some things in my head. This is about the other days, like a month ago. I went walking to the beach because I love going there and I get a lot of energy.
Right.
And while I was there, I kind of lost myself in time. And from 5 p.m. that I got there till like 9 p.m., I lost track. But I was able to enjoy the whole sunset.
Yes.
And I was sitting on the sand.
Right.
But I noticed that a lot of people do this where I went. Mm. They take the little chairs.
Right.
And they're just there listening to music, the little MP3 music box. And they're drinking whatever they're drinking. I didn't see alcohol, but they're just chilling there. And I feel like, you know what? Living in reality instead of living in your mind is what liberates you from all these dramas.
Definitely.
You know?
And how much does that cost you?
Just parking, $5.
Yeah, $5. Okay, yeah. So $5, you had a pleasurable, you know, afternoon, right, you know, moments, you know. So it doesn't have to cost a lot. Like you said, you know, those little pleasures that, you know, you give yourself can be wonderful, you know, because they last, you know, a long time. The other thing is interesting is don't buy that insurance that they always offer you.
Okay. Which one? The lifetime insurance?
No, you know, at stores, well, not that one, but you know, let's say, I'm gonna kill you for that. But you know, like you buy a copier, right? You buy insurance, you know, or you buy, you know, whatever, a TV. That's actually a very poor investment. It can increase 50% of your cost. And I even talked to someone that worked at one of those stores and said, the first thing they train us is sell the insurance. You know,
because so that's where they make the extra cash.
That's where they make the cash. And the reason people buy it is that they have an emotional fear of loss. Oh. But in reality, they don't need to do that because people are stronger than they think. You know, even if the thing breaks, I mean, you can buy another one. It's not going to destroy you emotionally.
Right.
But people have that fear, right? So that's what they need to learn. Don't buy that insurance.
So it's all psychological triggers that they use to get you to buy.
Yes, the emotional fear, right? The emotional idea that you're going to fail in some way, but it's not really that way. You know, you're going to be stronger than you think.
Hey, they always tell you, right? You know what? It has a 6 month to 1 year warranty, but you never know because things nowadays, they're not made like they used to be before.
Exactly.
I'm like, it's okay, bro. I'll come back for another one.
Yeah, but exactly. You know, so it's unnecessary emotional protection. Mm-hmm. We don't need that emotional protection, right? Because humans are stronger than we think.
So say, for instance, that applies to pretty much everything, right? Even from a car dealership, like when they're trying to sell you this, they're trying to sell you that.
Right. Some other extra stuff that you don't really need. I mean, some stuff you might need, you know, some insurance is good. But, you know, we're talking about unnecessary extra stuff that you don't really need. It's just for your emotional fear. So they tap into that. So, you know, go against that. Say, hey, I'm an emotionally strong person. Okay. If it breaks down, I'm going to get something new.
True. That's a good way of looking at it, doctor.
The other thing is something called relative wealth. It's sometimes better to be the richest person in a poor place than the poorest person in a rich place because you compare yourself to the other people that you're at.
And a lot of people feel less, right, when you're in a bigger environment. I like going also to rich areas just to see. And one thing that I noticed, doctor, is like you said earlier, their phones are calling us.
Must be a call.
Must be a client, doctor, making money, beingrich.com. No, the thing is that once you're there, I'm noticing there are people that have money, like in those communities. Like, for instance, right here, we go to Orange County, you go to Fashion Island. You see Bentleys, you see Lamborghinis pulling up. But the one thing that I also notice in people's faces is their demeanor. Their eyes are very chill. Their face is very chill. It might be because of Botox, but I mean, regardless, I feel like at this point, like money does get them to that level of feeling superior. And the first time that I went, I'm not going to lie to you, I did feel inferior, but then I realized why? We're all the same. And if, like you said the last time, go in like you own the place and leave like you sold it.
Definitely. Yeah. And we actually do studies and even monopoly money makes people more arrogant. They've actually done studies where you actually slam your pieces down more when you have more monopoly money. So it actually affects your mind. So.
Balling. Make it rain.
Yeah, that kind of thing. So we got to be very careful. You know, money can influence certain people's mindsets, you know, to more arrogant, more self-centered, things like that. But it can also be healing too. Like if you're a compassionate person, it can actually make you more compassionate because you realize that you can actually give more love to other people, you know, through money. You know,
spread it out,
which brings us to this, I think, a very powerful point. And we talked about this before. Think of money as an energy. So extend the loving energy without expectation.
I like that. Yeah.
In fact, research shows people that give money to other causes are the happiest people. You know, they're always trying to help people with their money. They really enjoy money the most.
I find that very honest and truthful. Like, for instance, you know, like, I'm a Catholic, and I mean, I respect everybody's religion. And when I go to church, I mean, I look at things like in my mind when people are talking and criticizing, saying, okay, you know what? They're going to use the money for this. They're going to use the money for that.
Right.
I say, let it be on them. I'm not giving them $1 million. I'm giving them this amount. And sometimes I ask God, I said, if you don't want it, you know what? Show me somebody that might need it. And there's times that the collection basket has passed and for some reason they miss me. And I say, okay, you wanted me to give it to somebody else. Then I see somebody outside the freeway. Then I give them the money and it feels good.
Yeah, you know? Because think about it, it's without expectation. And that's the most powerful thing. You're giving the money, you know, like we talked about being like the sun, right? The sun shines on everybody. So you're giving that money out, you know, and whatever happens, happens. You know, some people may use it for the wrong purpose, you know. The same thing with homeless people.
Right.
I always ask people, do you want to give to homeless? No, because they might use it for drugs or alcohol, but who knows?
Yeah.
Actually, one comic often said, hey, if you're out there, you probably want to use drugs or alcohol, right?
To forget about things.
Yeah, your whole life, you know, they suffer from a lot of things. So, but the key is to give that love out, you know, and that love, you know, in the manifestation of money is very powerful. And I often do this exercise, and we're going to do it, I think, at our talks that we're coming up now. Is what I call the love your money exercise.
Okay.
Now, in my hand, I have a $100 bill.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And, you know, I'm a psychologist and I love the work I do. So I give love to people, you know, in my work, mm-hmm. and they give love back in the form of money.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say I go to buy something, a product or service, and they also do something with love, right? So mm-hmm. I give them this loving money energy back.
Yeah.
So, Nachin, you know, we started this podcast. I think we're starting to do well. And mm-hmm. this is our first $100 bill.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give this to you with loving energy, right?
Okay.
And say thank you.
Thank you, okay. Dr. Avinash.
Okay. And now you're going to give it right back with more loving energy to my hand.
Actually, I'll give you the change. Sorry. No, not here.
There you go. Okay. Now, okay.
It feels good. It feels like the energy flows, right?
And then, you know, we would give it to someone else, you know, in the room, you know, so mm-hmm. we do a whole circle of money love is what mm-hmm. I call it. Okay. So everybody gives a $100 bill and that money passes around. And it comes back.
No, and 90% of them are mad because they didn't keep it.
90% of the time it comes back.
No, actually,
you know, I mean, people joke around, but 100%, yeah. you know, they give it back, you know, because it's a flow, right?
Right.
And that's where the power is. You know, when you think of money as an energy flow, then mm-hmm. your life changes. You don't have to hoard it, right? You don't have to, right. you know, keep it. You don't have to compete with people. There's plentiful amount. There's a resource that's abundant mm-hmm. and it flows all throughout the places. So whether, you know, you go to a restaurant, you know, you might give them a luxury tip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people argue at a store, right? They always want to get the best price. But think of money as a way to create a positive energy with that person, right? That worker. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they can feed their family more, right? Because mm-hmm. you give them a little extra money at the right. store. So instead of driving a hard bargain, you know, use emotional money.
Like emotional money too. And another thing going in that money tip, I'm going to say this. Whenever you see somebody on the street, like a vendor selling whatever, a hot dog, corn, whatever, you see them selling something, their art or something, don't fight them for the price. Those people are the ones that
yes.
don't have the corporate account on top of them. They're the ones right. that are trying to survive. So yes. just give them what they're asking for. And I mean, it's not a competition. You don't complain when you go buy the Gucci, you know? Why right. complain with right. somebody that needs
think
it?
Think about it. I mean, you're actually helping them support their family. So you're mm-hmm. actually expressing love to them, which they can express to their family, right?
Yeah.
So instead of thinking of money as some kind of thing you have to, you know, hide or, you know, you have to compete with, think of mm-hmm. it as a gift, right? A loving energy.
And what happens, doctor, say, for instance, when somebody's down on their luck, they are surviving, they're just going through life, and there are people in their realm that can actually help them. Is it bad for that person to feel like, you know what, I don't want to deal with these people anymore because they see my need, they see what I am going through, yet they don't pick up a finger to help me? Is it bad to feel bad because you walk away from those people?
I mean, I think it depends on the circumstance. I mean, you know, if you need help, I mean, ask for help, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. if you, from your heart, you know, and you feel that there's someone that can help you.
Mm-hmm.
Also help yourself. I mean, find something you can improve, you know, some skill you have, right? Maybe go to school, learn a craft or mm-hmm. a trade, you know?
Pretty much you're on your own, sucker.
Well, that's part of it. But I mean, also building a network of positive people. See, that's very important. We talk about that a lot, right? I know mm-hmm. you mentioned in the past you've been around some negative energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, kind of hurt you. But now you're changing, right? You're becoming right. more positive and that's lifting you up. And the same thing monetarily too, financially. You know, mm-hmm. when you're around more positive people that talk about, you know, achieving things and helping people, all of a sudden you start to become better in your finances as well.
It's true. Like you hang out, you are who you hang out with at the end of the day. So yeah. whatever end result you want to be at, the way that I look at it is simple. I see like, okay, we're in a scene. What are the characters in it? What is the object we got to get to? What is our objective? What do we want to do?
Yes.
So surround yourself with those people that are really going to teach you something else. Even if in this case, like, mm-hmm. you know, somebody that can help you, they're at least teaching you how not to be. Because in my heart, like if I was in that position and I can see somebody that needs it, I'll take out my shirt and I'll give it to them. But
definitely.
Everybody's raised differently. But
right.
don't let that send you back and hate and you know, stop giving light to other people just because of one bad apple.
Definitely. And, you know, even some of the great teachers and leaders, you know, the business, they always say, you know, surround yourself with people whose salary you want to make. Mm-hmm. If you want to make $100,000 a year, be around those people. If you want to make $1 million a year, be around those people.
Wow.
Or whatever it is, right?
That's a good way of looking at it.
It's the mind that you want to find that has already that success that you're looking for. You know, and also, hopefully, people are also happy with what they're doing, right?
So that's true.
They're financially successful and they're happy. And some people are, you know, some people that can be very successful. You know, some great artists and, you know, business people are great people and also they make money. So there's nothing wrong with that.
But make sure that you get along with them. If they don't want to hang out with you, don't be a stalker, okay?
A financial stalker, right?
Yeah.
Right, no. But, yeah, exactly. But, you know, wealth comes within, but it can also come from without.
And be able to pass it on. Don't hold on to it like, you know what, it's the last thing you're going to have in your life. And realize that, like, the main point that I take from this, doctor, is the fact that you're extending loving energy. And when you're giving it to somebody for whatever it is, you're buying flowers, you're buying yourself milk.
Right. Yes.
Realize that you're helping their family all together.
Definitely. Yeah, you're creating love in their, you know, in their family, right? And then mm-hmm. you're feeling the love, whatever the product they give you, right? So mm-hmm. you buy a flower or even a taco, right?
Mm-hmm.
You enjoy the love that was made in that taco, right?
Yeah.
It's delicious, you know, and, you know, I think we're getting hungry now. Right?
Yes, we are.
But, you know, that's a wonderful way to look at it. And then that eliminates the greed, the competition, and the cheap personality, right? The people mm-hmm. trying to hold on to it and try to, you know, beat people for, over money mm-hmm. instead of giving through money.
I've always said this, and I will continue to say it. I say, God, give me the opportunity to make a lot of money, and I promise you I will help a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And I don't do it with the intention of trying to be a materialistic person, but rather to expand and show others that there's another world out there that we can conquer. And sometimes it's just about resources, but when it becomes a battle of resources, you got to be in peace with yourself so you can go and compete and be your best.
Yeah, think of it as a growth mentality, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the universe is constantly growing, right? Expanding, you know, more things are produced, more resources, gold, silver, you know, ideas, love, you know, whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. The babies, you know. So think of that, your mindset is that, right? You're constantly expanding, right? You're growing.
Mm-hmm.
You're learning more every day. You know, you're helping people more. You know, you're making more money, perhaps, mm-hmm. you know. All these things go together. You know, think of yourself as expanding as opposed to being limited, right? As mm-hmm. withdrawing. Some people think of withdrawing, right? You know, I'm making less money. I have less friends, less mm-hmm. less love. So opposite, reverse yourself into the expansion mode, right? You are growing every day. And, you know, hopefully Listen to Us is part of what they're doing, right?
Yeah.
Love University is an expansion course, right? We're expanding your mind and also your heart to do better.
One thing that I would add to the course as your assistant professor, Dr. Avila.
Yes, thank you.
I would say this. Today, do this as homework. Go out to a place that you've never been to. Go to area that you know you might not be able to afford. Like for me, it would be yes. Beverly Hills. And just go see what money is and don't see it as a difference, but see it as an experience and realize that there's other layers. And if you want to, you can get there. You just got to find your way to get there.
Definitely. So go there and also buy yourself a little something this week, a little treat, mm-hmm. right? You know, a little extra yogurt, a little, you know, whatever, you know, that you want to do, a little mm-hmm. coffee. Go for that massage, you know, you've been thinking about, you know, do something special for yourself. It may cost a little bit of money,
mm-hmm.
but that's the kind of pleasure that will inspire you and motivate you to even do better, you know, mm-hmm. you know, to actually make more money or be more successful in your career because you're seeing what the good life feels like, right? You know,
yeah.
when you pamper yourself and your loved ones, that's the good life, right?
Oh, yeah. That's beautiful.
You take care of your loved ones and yourself. That's the key.
That's the key. And Dr. Avila, this episode can continue, and it's great.
We can talk about this all the time, right? This is a very popular topic.
I love this topic because we live in, you know, a capitalist society, which is, you know, be your best and mm-hmm. do your best. So money is the never-ending story, and so is love. Until next time, Dr. Avila.
Think of the spiritual wealth that we're going to have, you know, every day that we have it. And I'm going to keep your 20 bucks, but mm-hmm. Whatever it is, right?
Okay, I'll exchange it for the other 200 you have in your pocket.
We'll give
Thank
it
you.
Back. All right. Have a great day, and see you next time at Love University.
Definitely. If you guys want to check out more information on this, visit the website.
Yeah, it's www.guytypes.com, and our email address is lovetype, LOVETYPE, the number 4, letter U, lovetype, for you at AOL.com.
Thank you so much.